Good morning. The Lord be with you. Thank you, and I love to hear you say that. I welcome you to First United Methodist Church and wish you a wonderfully happy Mother's Day. Not everybody is a mother, but we all had one. And so we celebrate that, and we honor our moms and grandmoms and other ladies that are among us today. So I'm glad that you are here. I have some announcements to share with you, and would like to lift those up now. I'll try to be brief, but there are several. First, our year of Jubilee announcement is in the bulletin again, and it is without a date again. So it is, please mark your calendars, it is October 20th. And that celebrates 50 years of church life in this place, this location for First United Methodist Church. All that said, and as much as we want to celebrate the past, I would really rather we would look to the future and look at what's happening now and in the next few years and in the next 50 years. And let us make plans to be here or be somewhere in 50 years, still celebrating the love of Christ and the grace of God and the fellowship that we share together. So mark your calendars, though, for October 20th, where we're going to celebrate. We're going to make it a point to look back 50 years and to look ahead 50 years. And there'll be more to come about the whole theme of Jubilee and what that means. Many of you already know that Amy Stark has begun working in children's ministry as staff at First UMC. And as we forge our way ahead in this vital ministry, please do two things. Number one is pray. And number two is jump in and help, especially if you get a call from Amy or one of our other leaders. And keep praying as we grow our witness with young families. Today is a day that we look forward to celebrating Mark and Frances Sartwell's anniversary. It is next Saturday, but we won't see them again before that, probably. And Mark handed me a note this morning and said, please make the announcements that Francis has put up with me. He's put up with Francis or something like that. Mark and Francis are celebrating 50 years this coming Saturday. Celebration and congratulations. Nevin and I had the privilege of presenting scholarships at Commerce High School on Monday evening. On behalf of the foundation and the donors of the people of First United Methodist Church who have set up scholarships in perpetuity, and we presented two scholarships, one to Jacob Scarcelli and one to Grace Bailey. It was a joy to be a part of that, and thank you, Nevin, for your role in it, and for church family and for our foundation for participating in the future of our youth. Baccalaureate is next Sunday evening. It sort of slipped up on everybody, including Chris Myers, who's the pastor at First Baptist Church, where it's going to be held. But the deal is, it's next Sunday evening at 5 p.m. on May 19th, and I am to preach. We're going to talk about living in the light. And we will have Senior Sunday here that morning, and that's for all of our own graduating seniors. That's all next Sunday, May 19th. So let us remember to celebrate our seniors and to pray for them and for their decisions, their choices, their thriving in the future. That is all of the announcements that I have to make. So with all that done, let our worship begin.
Please stand as you're able as we affirm our faith together. Who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Shall tribulation or distress or persecution or famine or nakedness or peril or sword? No, in all things we are more than conquerors through the one who loves us. We are sure that neither death nor life, nor angels, nor principalities, nor things present, nor things to come, nor powers, nor height, nor depth, nor anything else in all creation will be able to separate us from the love of God in Christ Jesus our Lord. Thanks be to God. Amen. Now if you'll turn in your red hymnals to number 73 and join in singing.
Thank you.
Okay, let's begin our children's sermon. And you're going to like this one, because this is what I call an edible children's sermon. And since I've got two lovely young assistants this morning, we are going to distribute some Hershey's Kisses. And well, not only his kisses, but I think there's some hugs in here as well. And maybe some real live hugs. But I'd like to talk with you for just a minute about living in your mother's shadow. Some people say that their mothers shadow them and that they don't ever get to be independent because their mothers keep control of them all the time. Have you ever heard anybody say that? And then some people say the other thing. Mothers feel a little cheated because their kids get all the glory, right? Because their kids get all the attention and all the awards and everything, and the mothers are kind of shadowed. But the truth is, in the community of faith, we need to work together so that we all share. And one of the ways that we're going to honor our moms, our mothers, all of our ladies this morning is to share Hershey's kisses and hugs, and maybe some real ones at the same time. But I'd just like to say that not everyone has a dad, but everyone had a mother. And so mothers are vitally important in our lives. And if your mom is no longer living or no longer in your life, I invite you to find a lady that you can latch on to, and to find a person that will love you and will serve as your mom. Some of you out in the crowd like me have lost your parents to death or in other ways, and we need to find people that we can adopt and treat somebody special and welcome them and their influence into our lives. So that's what we're going to do this morning. Let's end with a prayer, and then we'll start passing out the hugs and kisses. God, we thank you for mothers, for the influence that they have, the energy that they give, the very life that they give by giving birth and by teaching and helping children to grow. God, we thank you that each of us had a mother, or at least a mother figure, who nourished us and helped us to grow into the persons that we have become. God, help us to give thanks for our mothers and for all the mentors around us, our teachers, our pastors, our colleagues in school, our friends in the workplace and our neighborhoods, all of those persons who help us to continue to grow and to be formed into the image of all that you, O God, have created us to be and become. We love you and thank you for loving us through our moms and through Jesus the Lord. Amen. All right. Let's go. On your mark, get set. Take a load, and I'll walk with you and give you plenty to back up with. Moms and grandmoms, all ladies, how about that? All right. All ladies. All right, here you go. I got involved in passing out candy. I'm supposed to help you do that. All right, I'm standing in the middle. Whoop, you dropped a couple there. So, all of our moms deserve our praise today because of the sacrifices that they make and the ways that they illustrate for us the love of Christ, unconditional love. I bet you're going to end up with a few of those left, aren't you? Take a whole bunch here. We got plenty. Go down this way. Hey, good to see you. Here you go. All right. So let's give a prayer of thanksgiving for... Yep, y'all take this and go serve the choir, would you? Don't hand the whole bowl to them. Hey, Mikey. So as we finish this, we give thanks for our moms, and we give thanks to God for being so generous with us in so many ways. And I give thanks for these two lovely young ladies who have helped us distribute those things this morning. Peace be with you in your work, in your living, in your home, in your family. Amen.
As you'll see in your bulletin this month, every $1 bill goes to UM Army, and we have an official UM Army board member representative here in Mikey Elwell to tell us more about UM Army.
I'm going to start by apologizing. It's allergy season, so I sound like I just hit puberty. But as Brian mentioned, I am a board member for our North by Northwest district of UM Army. I've been on the board for 3 years now, I think. Counting's hard. But I didn't get there by accident. I was involved with UM Army since the summer after my eighth grade year. So that's like 7 years now? I don't know. Once again, counting is really hard. But UM Army gave me a lot of opportunities. It gave me a lot of, it gave me a lot of opportunities and room to grow as a person. We did a lot of good work in UM Army, and this year UM Army is coming back to Commerce, so I hope that you will graciously support the mission with our drop a dollar this month and continue to work for it so it can work for you. Thank you.
Now, will our ushers please come forward as we prepare to receive our offering. Let us pray. Steadfast God of abundant grace, Lord, we give you thanks for all the ways we experience your love. And we pray that through this offering, we may reach out to others so that they too may share in the love that we've found in Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen.
Thank you.
may be seated. As we enter into our time of prayer, please look at your bulletin insert with your prayer concerns. Of course, this morning we give thanks for all of our mothers as we celebrate Mother's Day. We give thanks that Nell Brown is recovering well. We pray for Jessica and Waylon, for Carl, and Betty and Michelle and Geneva and Rachel, and for Wyman. We also lift up Ashley Marshall, who is on life support due to a brain aneurysm. She is the mother to two of the Robert Barton's grandchildren. Are there other things to lift up in prayer this morning? Prayers for all of our recent high school and university graduates and joys in those celebrations. Anything else to pray for? I also have a joy that I was honored to celebrate the baptism of David and Amelia Owsley's daughter, Sophia, last Sunday at Poetry UMC, so that was a huge joy and a wonderful celebration. With all that's on our hearts, let us turn to God in prayer. Holy Almighty God, Lord, we thank you and praise you for, like a mother hen, you take us in under your wings. You nurture us and you protect us. You are our refuge and our strength. God, we give thanks for all those who show us a glimpse of your unconditional love, all of our mothers and all of the important women in our lives who raise us up in the faith, who show us mercy and love and grace, and all those who are like mothers to us. And we pray for all those who have lost their mothers this day, that they may still feel their comfort through your power of your Holy Spirit, your Spirit that is our advocate and our counselor. And Lord, we pray for that Spirit's healing to be upon all those we have named in prayer, to surround Ashley and Wyman and Rachel and Geneva and Michelle and Betty and Carl and Jessica and Waylon and Neil in your Holy Spirit of healing. Lord, we pray that we may be able to live out the legacy of all those who have gone before us in faith, starting with the pioneer of our faith, Jesus the Christ, and on through the generations of all that have raised up the next generations. We pray that we may go following and showing in their love in the great cloud of witnesses, following in the footsteps of Christ our Redeemer, who taught us to pray. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory forever. Amen.
Our first scripture reading this morning comes to us from the Gospel of John, chapter 10, beginning in verse 22. At that time, the festival of the dedication took place in Jerusalem. It was winter, and Jesus was walking in the temple in the portico of Solomon. So those gathered around him said to him, "How long will you keep us in suspense? If you are the Messiah, tell us plainly." Jesus answered, "I have told you, and you do not believe. The works that I do in my Father's name testify to me. But you do not believe because you do not belong to my sheep. My sheep hear my voice. I know them, and they follow me. I give them eternal life, and they will never perish. No one will snatch them out of my hand. What my Father has given me is greater than all else, and no one can snatch it out of the Father's hand. The Father and I are one." This is the word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God.
That's a good word. Be joyful in the Lord. Jubilate Deo. I'd like to share with you this morning from the Gospel of John, chapter 10, verses 22 through 30. And that's what Nevin read. I'm going to read Acts 9, 36 to 43. So, in these words, the word shadows is used. It's significant in this story that it's not Jesus but Peter who does the raising. And Peter is not divine any more than you or I are. We all have a spark of divinity within us that we're supposed to fan the flame and help to grow. But this is about Peter, one of Jesus' disciples. And now this is from the book of Acts. It's almost said the Gospel of Acts. It is a continuation of the gospel story. Acts 9, 36 to 43. And in this, Peter and others are continuing to do the work that Jesus left them to accomplish. Listen to these words for the word of the Lord. "Now in Joppa there was a certain disciple whose name was Tabitha, which in Greek is pronounced Dorcas. She was devoted to good works and acts of charity, and at that time she became ill and died. When they had washed her, they laid her in a room upstairs Since Lydda was near Joppa, the disciples who heard that Peter was there sent two men to him with the request, "Please come to us without delay." So Peter got up and went with them, and when he arrived, they took him to the room upstairs. All the widows stood beside him, weeping and showing tunics and other clothing that Dorcas had made while she was with them. Peter put all of them aside, and then he knelt down and prayed. He turned to her lifeless body and said, "Tabitha, get up." And then she opened her eyes, and seeing Peter, she sat up. He gave her his hand and helped her get up. And then, calling all the saints and the widows, he showed her to be alive. This became known throughout Joppa, and many believed in the Lord. And meanwhile, Peter stayed in Joppa for some time with a certain Simon, a tanner. This is the word of God for the people of faith. Thanks be to God. It begins as a story of dying, a story of shadows. And it's significant in this story that it's not Jesus, but Peter in the name of Jesus who does the rising, the raising. Peter is not divine any more than you or me, but still effective. And it's done in such a way that verse 42 is still in effect, where it says, "This became known throughout Joppa, and many believed in the Lord." People are still believing in the Lord because of such stories. That many still believe. We mix this story today with Mother's Day. What does it mean to live in your mother's shadow? Many of you, like me, will say that your mothers have passed on, and that what we have remains, but remains only as a memory. So it's possible to still live in our mother's shadow, in our mother's influence, of course. We all have a chance to choose who we follow in life. Some we follow our parents, some we rebel against our parents and follow others. But my hope is that those of us who had wise parents enough to follow the Lord, that we will be wise enough to follow them in His footsteps. What does it mean to have a shadow? To some, it means that there's people following you. But what does it really mean for one to cast a shadow? Just think of the physics of it. If you're going to cast a shadow, it means that there has to be a light shining on you for your body to cast a shadow beneath you. There's a great children's story and musical and movie about Peter Pan. Peter Pan became troubled because his shadow had left him. His shadow had come apart from him and had taken on a life of its own, apparently. But all that's necessary for our shadows to become disconnected from our bodies is for us to just step out of the light, and then our shadows flee. If there's no light, there's no shadow. But Peter Pan was upset about it, and he kept making futile attempts to repair this problem by having someone help him. At first, he tried to stitch the shadow back on at his feet, where his feet met the ground. He tried to stitch the shadow back. Couldn't do that. It's just not possible to create yourself or recreate yourself. But as you know, the ending is happy and the shadow is restored. And what that really means is that Peter Pan is back in the light. We often use the term shadow to talk about a role in a movie or an opera where there's a small part, maybe a darker figure, but we call them a shadow role. We call that a shadow role. But we don't live in the shadow. We make a shadow by living in the light. Jesus it was who said, "I am the light of the world, and in me there is no darkness." But when we live in that light, we make our own shadow. And sometimes it causes us problems. Sometimes it follows us around stealthily and causes us to look grossly exaggerated or too tall, too wide, depending on the angle of the sun. But I'd like to claim to you spiritually that any shadow spiritually that we make is made by standing in the light of Christ. Peter has taken on new authority, that of even healing someone now in Jesus' absence. In this case, even of helping someone to rise from the dead, to rise from death. How can you follow Jesus this closely? How can you allow or even invite the light of the world to be magnified in you rather than to be blocked by you? Maybe we need to find a way to let the light of Christ pass through us so that our shadows are diminished. Our dark side is melted away. There's a touching scripture in Corinthians, I believe, where it says, "For now we see through a glass darkly, but then when the complete comes, then we shall see face to face." We shall see God. But while we're here, while we are now, while we live in the shadows, we see through a glass darkly, and we are here to dispel the shadows, and yet sometimes we make our own. Maybe you'd like to keep your shadow, sew it back on, or to make sure that you can at least see it in the mirror. There may be times that you wouldn't feel dressed right. For some special occasion, you might not feel dressed right if you didn't have your shadow there. Maybe it's a mirror that we need instead of a shadow. Some way to look back or to look around or to examine ourselves from a distance and get some perspective. I don't know. I don't know many of you well yet. As far as your family and your history, I'd love to hear your stories about your mother, your parents, your family. Some of you, dear ones, I've met your folks, and they are dear as well. God works through our families and our caregivers to teach us the things that we need to know, like how to live or how to love or how to act or how to do, how to guide our shadows into the right places and to make sure that they stay attached and don't come off and take on a life of their own. True saints are forgiven. And that's what all of us are. As brothers and sisters in Christ, as those who are washed and claimed and healed and brought forth by Christ, we are saints. That doesn't mean we're perfect. Don't get me wrong. That doesn't mean that we always do things right like we intended to do. We are not perfect, but true saints live not only acknowledging their own shadow, but acknowledging the shadow of God's grace that also follows us around. True saints are forgiven. We're not perfect, we're not sinless, but we are healed with God's grace. Many times we're healed through the teaching of our parents, through our fathers and our mothers, or through other mentors. How do you tell the story of your mother, of your mom? And how do you redeem that story? Because I know it's not perfect. Mine is not. And no human story is perfect except by being made perfected in Christ. Yet we still tell the stories of our saints, those who bore us, those who taught us. I said those who bore us. I didn't mean that in the sense of boring. I meant it in the same sense of giving birth. How do you tell your story? The story of your mom, because we all had one. We all have one or had one, right? And sometimes we learn more negatively than we do positively. Some of your stories about your mothers might not be ones that you're fond of telling or that you hold up. And yet they still need to be acknowledged and told, because those stories, positive or negative, make us what and who we are. We keep saints alive. We keep anyone alive, really, by telling their story. You can edit it. But don't edit out all the dark parts, because there are always going to be failures and mistakes. Those are the moments that show us how much we depend upon God and how much we need God. That is maybe the darker side of the shadow. But acknowledging that darkness helps us to put our hope in Christ, and helps us to know how much we have to celebrate of our hope in Christ. So don't eliminate the parts of your story or your family's story. Because if our stories all have happy endings, if they all seem perfect, then nobody's going to believe them any more than you would believe the Peter Pan story of sewing your shadow back on. Parents are to be good examples, and one of the best things that we can teach all of our young ones, all those who look up to us, is how much we, parents, need God's grace. And how different things would be if we didn't have it. Let us never be arrogant or demeaning or condemning. Never looking down on anyone, especially our kids. But just the opposite. Let us stand with them. Let us not even look down upon ourselves. But in order that we might have something left to give to the future, to our children, great and grand, in order that we may have something to give them, let us look to the Lord, who is the author and finisher of our faith. The one not who ends our faith, but who continues to stitch it together, to polish it, and to help it grow. Let us not look down on anyone, especially our kids. Just the opposite. We stand with them. Let us hold our hands all together and look up together, to see God's way, to walk together in the same direction toward God and toward the light, leaving the shadow behind us. And if we're going to make shadows, and well, we are going to make shadows, then let that be because we are standing in the light of Jesus Christ, facing Him and lifting some of His light letting His light, His love, patience, and wisdom filter down through us, like sunlight filters down through the trees. Let this light be reflected in you to those who stand with you and those whom you stand beside to help them grow. Let us look to God. Let us look to Christ, the light of the world. So be it. Amen.
If this is the Sunday that you would like to embrace the light of Christ and shine His light in the world, if you would like to come and join our community of faith, we invite you down front at this time as we stand to sing our hymn of discipleship, Happy the Home When God Is There, number 445. Let us stand and sing.
So, for now and until we meet again, with everyone bringing a friend to sit beside them, let us live in the light and love of Jesus Christ and go in His peace in every step we take. Amen.